Okay. I'm Jack Grisham, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you guys for having me, and happy birthday. Happy birthday, happy birthday to everybody that took a birthday. And thanks, Kip. You did a great job. And when Kip was talking, I was just listening and thinking, you know, and he was talking about doing the steps, and I was wondering, like, how do you even know that somebody's even done the steps? You know what I mean? Like, what's the measure? I mean, when you see, yeah, they're not drinking, but I know a lot of people that don't drink, and they haven't done any steps, man, and they don't drink, and they haven't done a damn step, you know? And then I was listening about when the baby, and I had the same response with my family. My 21-year-old niece, she snuck into a nightclub one night where I was working, and I was getting used to hugging you guys, so I saw her, and I go, Carlisle, and I hugged her. And she went to a payphone and called her mother and said, your brother just hugged me. And it was like a big deal, you know, because I'd never hugged her, you know, and wasn't in my family's life. So what does it look like? I bust guys' balls around here all the time. I see them, you know, it's like you tell me you work a program, but you haven't told your face. You're not smiling. Supposedly you're shaved, you're saved from a shipwreck, but you don't look too happy about it, you know? And then I hear guys go, I trust God. Well, you trust God. Why are you running all these people's lives? Why don't you let God run their lives? Why don't you stay back? And I got sober when there was no cell phones either. And message machines or busy signals or emergency breakthroughs, that was going, I need to make an emergency breakthrough. You know, it's like, no, thank you, denied. And I tell my guys that all the time. Well, I am not going to be there to wipe your ass 24 hours a day. It's not going to happen, dude. You better learn to put your dependence on God and not on me, because I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to teach you early on how to think for yourself, it's not going to take this long process of learning how to do it. They wanted us in the book to start learning to think for ourselves right away. Right away. Sometimes that's the least treated aspect of this disease. We talk about how it centers in the mind. Least treated. You hear guys around here going, let me do your thinking for you. Yeah, that sounds great. I go down to the gym. I'm fat as shit. I don't let the trainer lift for me. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I'm fat. I'm going to sit this one out. Why don't you get that for me, Bob? You know, it's like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Get your ass in there. Start learning how to work, you know. And I'm a book guy. That's something else. I'm a book guy, and I know that's frightening. You know what I mean? That's frightening. Normally, if you get an AA and somebody says you're a book guy, it's like, back away, man, because that can get really frightening. And I'm a book guy, but you know what? It's just a book. It's not a holy relic. It's just a book. And I'll tell you what happened to me for a while. I really got into the book. Like, and I am still into it. Every Monday night at 6 o'clock, I do a book study at my house. And I get these people together, and I push that book up their rump one line at a time, man. And sometimes people will go to that meeting and come back a month later, and we're still on the same paragraph, right? You know, it's like, I mean, I make sure it's thoroughly understood. But anyway, So I start getting into the book and getting into the history, and where did Bill take this from? And this is Oxford Group, and this came here. I mean, because a lot of people don't realize that the stories about the alcoholics in the book were not about Alcoholics Anonymous. There was no Alcoholics Anonymous when this was written. These are stories of people that were in the Oxford Group. That was their stories. When they're talking about this guy didn't drink for this many years, this guy did this, they were Oxford Group guys, and he was taking those stories. But anyway, so I start getting in the book and tearing it apart, and I got the dictionary, and I'm line by line, and Bill got this from this. And then I started judging you guys, right? So then I start coming in, I'm going, he's doing it wrong. He's doing it wrong. Where'd he get that from, idiot? You know, it was crazy. And then I hear some guy said something crazy in the meeting. I go, where'd you get that from? He goes, I got it from my sponsor who got it from his sponsor. I go, then your grand sponsor's an idiot. You know, it was bad. It got really bad, you know. And I'd be mumbling through the meetings, you know what I mean? And God forbid, you know, I felt sorry for the guy sitting next to me, because I'd just be mumbling through the meeting. You know, they'd be sliding away, you know. And it got bad. It got to the point where it was Jack Grisham, party of one. That was it. Party of one. Just me. And at the same time, I'm seeing this Jesuit brother. Now, I'm not a Catholic, but I want to find somebody to talk to God about. Because it's weird. In AA, we talk about God differently than they talk about God. Even more so than church guys talk about God. You know what I mean? We talk about God like God and I just went up to the market to get some milk. You know, it's like, I mean, in a really personal way, man. And And I've met guys out there. I'd see guys like reading Bibles or whatever. I'd walk up and go, hey, we got the same dad. And they shut the book. You know what I mean? They just don't even want to talk to me. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, who am I going to talk to God about? I want to ask some questions. I want to know some things. I want to question some people, right? And one of the guys I wanted to question was Father Anthony DeMello. And I love reading DeMello, and he's great. If you ever get a chance to read him, he's great. But he died. He died. So I go off to his people. He was in India, right? I go to contact his people that hook me up with people in New York who finally hook me up with a mother house up by where I live in Orange. And I hook up with his Jesuit brother because I want to talk about spiritual stuff. I want to talk with somebody who I can talk to about it. And anyway, so after tearing the big book apart, line by line, word by word, phrase by phrase, I start tearing the New Testament apart. Right, in the same way. And then I come up to Brother Charlie one day. I go, Charlie, I go, what do you think is the best translation of this book? What's the best translation? Because I'm thinking Charlie's going to go, well, Jack, you know what? You're going to have to learn Aramaic on this one or whatever. And I'm in, right? I'll do it. You know, I even thought about getting Love and Service in Aramaic tattooed across my back. I mean, it got frightening. And I go, so what's the best translation, Charlie? What's the best translation of that book? And he looks at me and he shakes his head. He goes, Jack. He goes, it is such a shame that you're that hung up on the words. I go, what? Because I'm thinking he's going to tell me to study something and do something. He goes, you know what, son? I don't want to hear another word of scripture coming out of your mouth. He goes, what I want you to do is shut up. And he said it in a very nice religious way. Anyway, he goes, what I want you to do is shut up. And I want you to go down the beach and I want you to take a walk. I want you to take a walk. He goes, when you take that walk, when you start to take that walk, what I want you to do is ask God to walk along with you. You want to ask God to come along, and you're going to be quiet on that walk, and you're going to start listening. And so what I did is I took that walk, and I started listening. A lot of people, you know, when we talk about meditation and Alcoholics Anonymous, it's not really Eastern philosophy that they were going for. It's really a Christian word. Contemplation is what they're really talking about. Read something, think about it. What does it mean to you? And so when I'm taking that walk, what I started realizing I was doing was by trying to pin Alcoholics Anonymous down to a word or a phrase, what I was trying to do was control the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. If I knew the book line by line, word by word, phrase by phrase, knew where they got it from, therefore I controlled the program. And anyone that wasn't doing it the way I did it was wrong. The way they did it was wrong. They have not learned this properly. What I also was trying to do by tearing apart the New Testament was, by studying that line by line, word by word, what I was trying to do was control God. If I could pin my God down to a word or a phrase, then basically I controlled that God. I went back and looked at the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, a book that at that time I thought was very rigid. Very rigid. I was this is the way it goes. And all of a sudden, I looked at that big book, and every rigid thing in there had completely disappeared as if it was not written ever. Ever. You start at the third step prayer. Love that third step prayer, and I'm a big fan of it. If you're going to sit in a meeting and say it, you should probably have some idea what you're saying. Maybe look at the lines, find out what you're saying. And I love that prayer. It's a great prayer, that third step prayer. But do you want to know what it says at the end of that third step prayer in the big book? It says, the wording is optional. Optional. You can say anything you want for a third step prayer, according to our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Some guy's third step prayer is, F it, I can't take this crap anymore. And believe me, that is a very valid prayer. I have seen more of those guys stay sober, the guys that just have nothing, they don't care, F it, I can't take this anymore. That prayer works great. That was my prayer. It worked great. Go into the fourth step in the big book. Love it. You go in there, you these columns, these lines, this, lines and columns, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what Bill says before the lines and the columns? He says, we were usually as definite as this example. Usually. Not always. Sometimes we do this shit otherwise. And if you go to the back of the book, our co-founder, Dr. Bob, he does a four-step with a guy that's completely different than Bill's four-step. Dr. Bob's four-step was the guy told Bob his story, and Bob took notes. And when the guy was done, Bob goes, well, you're sarcastic, you're jealous. Bob gave him his defects, which is great. I mean, if you want to do a four-step and you're brand new, go stick by the first, do the graph, do the comp. Great, great, great. You want to do a real four-step? Give pen and paper to everyone that knows you. Have them fill it out. You'll have a list of defects you have never seen. And if you want to go even further, give pen and paper to your enemies and ask them to fill it out. Sometimes for the hell of it, I get on the computer and I type in F-U-C-K-A-A and push enter. And it's funny, but don't you want to see what they're saying about us? Don't you want to see how we're failing people? If we're supposed to be of maximum service to God and our fellows, why the hell won't you look outside the program and see what they say about us and why we've failed? Check it out. And you know what? Not anyone on there ever complains about us sticking to the traditions and following these steps. I have not found one complaint. I have never saw someone go, well, they let you believe in whatever you want over there, bastards. Never. Oh, God, I hate AA. Those pricks pay their bills. They admit their faults, and they try to be helpful for no money. What a terrible organization. Never. They complain when we step outside the traditions, when we start being controlling, manipulative, running people's lives. That's what they complain about. Everything that we're not supposed to be doing, that the book says we're not supposed to be doing. Not me saying it. The book says we don't do that. But when we do it, they complain and we fail. We fail people. Anyway, going further and further through the book, the whole thing fell apart. Everything in there that I thought was so rigid, oh, sometimes we get back together, sometimes we don't, sometimes this, sometimes that, well, okay, maybe this way, maybe not, you know, blah, 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 all the way through. And at the very end, Bill sums up our whole program in four simple lines. Four simple lines. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you have and join us. That's it. That is the whole program in four lines, four simple lines. I tell you, and that's beautiful when you see that done. When you see it done, it's beautiful. I do this meeting on Saturday night, and I'm not there tonight. I got someone covering me, and what I do is I interview people with long-term sobriety. And I hunt these guys down, these men and women, and we sit in chairs together, and we talk about how you got sober, what you did, what it was like. My sponsor's got coming up on 45 years on Monday, and his sponsor got sober with Bill and those guys back east. And I ask him, what'd you do? Did you study the book? What'd you do? And my sponsor goes, nah, we didn't look at the book. I go, what do you mean you didn't look at the book? He goes, yeah. He goes, my sponsor said that book's written for those people that aren't with us. I'm with you. You don't need a book. That's what he said. It's like, are you kidding me? You know? And then you hear these guys. We had a guy with 53 years of sobriety 2 weeks ago. And I go, what'd you do? He goes, ah, they had me hustling drunks on day two. I'm like, what do you mean day two? He goes, yeah, I was telling my story at the detoxes. It's like, oh, anyway, so whatever. So, all right, so let's just leave all that. All right, anyway, but it really opened my mind up to what's going on. Really opened my mind up to what's really going on here. What's really happening in AA, you know, and how it's changing. And maybe not for the better a lot. Anyway, how I got here, I lived at my mother's. And if it was up to my mother, I would still be living at my mother's house right now, man. The Al-Anon people never got one hand on my mom. The blood of the lamb was spray painted on our front door, and the Al-Anons just drifted right on by. They never got up in there. I had the best drunk's mom in the world. I would go to jail. When I got out, my mother would go, they're always picking on you, sweetheart. It's like, yes, they are, mother. I'd be in the neighbor's yard, passed out any time, day or the night, with my pants off, laying out in the front yard. If the neighbors had the balls to come over and complain, my mother would go, leave him alone, he's an artist. You know, it was rough, man. And Anyway, and here's how I got to you guys. Here's how I rolled in here, right? A buddy of mine got busted on a cocaine trafficking charge. Okay. I believe more alcoholics are created in court than anywhere else in the world, right? It's not the first drink. It's not the local bar. It's court. It is court. Because I guarantee you, hundreds of thousands of us go into court every day, non-alcoholic. We get in front of the judge. Judge says, Mr. Smith, you're looking at a year sentence. But if you're an alcoholic, you could do a 90-day treatment program. I'm an alcoholic, Your Honor. Okay. Everybody is now, right? No, not so. We had some new people in here, and I'm going to do you a favor. If you're brand new, I'm going to do you a favor right now. If you just come in here and start blowing smoke up our ass, telling us how great this is and how happy you are to be here, we know you're not telling the truth. You know what I'm saying? My friend Frank used to say, if you're happy to be here, you're too sick to stay. And I love that, you know, and because we know you're not happy. And don't blow any smoke up our ass. Give it to us like you feel it. Give it to us. Tell us you're mad at your sponsor. Tell us you're bummed out. Because we have to love and tolerate you anyway. That's our code. I mean, you could be brand new and basically stand up in the meeting, flip us all off, tell us to go to hell, and we'd go, yeah, yeah.
You keep coming back.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. Because what I also learned is, do you know that no matter what you say in Alcoholics Anonymous, somebody will disagree with you? Doesn't matter. I mean, these guys argue this stuff like it's the Constitution, man. It's crazy. Although we stick by ours. Anyway, but sorry. That's it. Outside issue. Anyway, but they argue this stuff. I mean, you could stand up at the podium and say, the ocean's wet. Somebody else would stand up and go, not along the edge, it's not. No. No, it's not. I mean, so crazy, because I was at this meeting one time, and I made that joke about more alcoholics created in court, right? And it's funny, but it's funny because it's true. That's what makes it funny. And I said that at this meeting. This dude comes up to me, and he's huge, right? And I'm 6'4", 280, lying about the 280 right now, but I'm big, right? He's bigger than me, covered with, like, bad tattoos. He walks up and goes, can I talk to you, man? I go, yeah, what's up, bro? He goes, I did the year, dog. Well, then you're a stupid alcoholic. It's like, come on, bro. If you don't got enough sense to cop a plea to stay out of jail, you better get up on in here and get a sponsor and start working some steps, guy, because you're going to die out there, my friend. Your game is weak. Anyway, So that's what my buddy does. He goes to court and he says he's got a problem. I was getting loaded with him. He didn't have a problem 2 weeks before that. You know what I mean? There was no problem mentioned. It wasn't like, hey, Jack, you know what? I think I got a problem. I'm going to set out on this last line of blow. Why don't you clean that up for us? You know, no. It was, are you cutting that even, dude? There was no problem mentioned. But now, because he's going to court, and we live in Long Beach, and he's about 5'4", little curly-haired, blonde, freckle-faced surfer boy going up to L.A. County. Yes, indeed, he has a problem now. Goes to court. They send him to treatment. UH and I guys get up there and start healing on him, or whatever the hell you're doing, getting them all pumped full of the spirit up there. And you get them all healed up, ready to go, and they kick him loose, and he comes back to Long Beach a reformer. A reformer. Now, the big book says we're not supposed to start out as reformers, but he did. And you know what? This book says all sorts of crap. There's all sorts of crap in here. I don't know. A lot of you may not know that when they first created this, Alcoholics Anonymous is a bit of a scam. It's a scam. When they first wrote the book and created this, they wanted to sell it. That was the issue. They thought, we're going to make billions. We'll sell this to, well, at the time it was millions. Anyway, we're going to make millions, you know. We're going to sell this to big corporations. We're going to hustle this shit. We're going to do it. That was their plan. And then they couldn't sell it. Nobody wanted it. So they got to give it away. That's the issue here, you know. Anyway, so one time I'm going through the book, right, thinking of this, thinking of Bill Wilson, thinking of these guys. I mean, if you listen to some of the history of AA, they'll talk about car auto polish sales they were doing and all sorts of really scammy stuff, you know. Some of us, we go, well, old AA was solid. Really? Really? Real solid. Feeding each other sauerkraut cocktails to stay sober. And I mean, they were not solid. They're like us. They were drunks. And they're also like the hustler in us, too. They were hustling also. It wasn't like, oh, this is all spiritually minded. You know, yeah, the God was in there, man, but they were trying to make money. So I'm going through the Big Book one time, and I found the sales pitch for AA. Have you ever watched, like, late night TV, and then they're rolling Viagra commercials or whatever, you know what I mean? And then it shows the guy, and he's, like, got whatever going on below, and he's looking good, and she's looking good, and she winks, and they're both real happy, and there's pretty music playing and nice words going by, right? So I'm reading, I go, oh, my God, I just found the sales pitch for AA, and here it is. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Is that? Yeah, right. Yeah, that's funny, right? It's funny. It's funny, and that's the pitch. Okay, all right, but what happens at the end of the commercial? Then they start rolling fine print. So I flip over four more pages. I go, oh, my God, there's the fine print. Here it is right here. It may mean sharing your money in your home, counseling frantic wives and relatives, innumerable trips to police court, sanitarium, hospitals, jails, and asylums. Your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Your wife may sometimes say she's neglected. A drunk may smash a furniture in your home or burn a mattress. She may have to fight with him if he is violent. Sometimes you'll have to call a doctor to administer sedatives under his direction. Another time you may have to send for the police or an ambulance. Yeah. That's funny. Anyway, it was a hustle. It was a hustle, you know. And so whatever. So next time your sponsor says, study the book. Oh, yeah, give me the book. I'll study it. All right, so. Because there's all sorts of that crap in there. Anyway, so here goes. So my buddy comes back a reformer. So where does he go to first? Where's his first stop? My mother's house. Stop number one. I get this. I go, hey. I go, what's up, bro? He goes, you got a problem, man. I go, what? I go, no. You got the problem, champ. I saw you go down. He goes, you're an alcoholic. I go, no, I'm not. Live with my mom. So let me tell you what was going on at mommy's house at the time. I had warrants out for my arrest. So what? I always have warrants out for my arrest. I also had people trying to kill me, both real and imagined, right? At both times. I got a girl pregnant. I said, move in. Move into my mom's house with me. Let's have a baby. 26 years old, mental capabilities of a 12-year-old. And I'm going to be a dad. And at the same time I move her in, the night she moved in, I actually got popped on armed robbery. But the same time I moved her in, I fell in love with a girl of questionable age and took her to Mexico and married her. That's what's, yeah, that's where the laughter stops right there, man. And ceases to be funny. Anyway, that's what's going on at mommy's house. And this guy's telling me I got a problem. And he goes, you're an alcoholic. And I walk him away from the door. I don't want my mother hearing that kind of talk up there. I walk him outside. He goes, come to a meeting with me. I go, a meeting? A meeting of what? He goes, 12-step meeting. Come on down. No, dude. You go, bro. You got popped. You go. I'm not going. He goes, come on, come to the meeting. No. Come to the meeting. No. Come on, come to the meeting. No. Come to the, no. Come to the meeting. No. Come on. No. Come to the meeting. No. Come on. Come to the meeting. No. Come to the meeting. Okay. I'll go. Now, do you know why I said I'll go? It's because I'm an alcoholic. And I'll say anything to get you to leave me alone, including I'm Jack Grisham and I'm an alcoholic. I got a couple of problems with Alcoholics Anonymous. And And I'll tell you, and it's not with the steps. It's not with the traditions. It's not with the concepts. I don't got any problems with that. That is gorgeous. Gorgeous. What I got problems with is the same thing Bill Wilson got problems with. Us. The membership. Why do you think he wrote those traditions? Could you imagine creating something this beautiful and knowing he was going to leave it in a bunch of drunks' hands? Think about that. How scared he must have been saying, man, we got to hold this together. We got to hold this together. Making those traditions. I tell people all the time, you know how you can tell somebody hasn't worked a program? Because they bitch about the steps. That's how you can tell they don't work a program. When you realize you got a fatal illness and this may save your ass, you stop bitching about the program. You start thinking, thank God for that fourth step. Thank God for that ninth step. This is saving my ass. And the longer you get sober, you're going to start kissing the ground, thanking for those traditions. All of a sudden, you start realizing how important that is. Anyway, my issue is with us. A lot of times, we're too quick to get the new man and the new woman to say they're an alcoholic. And you got people in here claiming alcoholism, and they don't even know what they're saying. We just push them into it. Say you're an alcoholic. Don't say addict, goddammit. Say you're an alcoholic. See, you know, we push them into it. And have you ever been to a meeting where they go around the room and introduce themselves before the meeting starts and a guy's there on a court card? I'm Bob alcoholic. I'm Frank alcoholic. I'm John alcoholic. I'm Tim. I'm here on a court card. Woo! The whole room goes crazy. Like a bunch of monkeys let out of a cage. They just start shaking. We got one. We got one. We got one. We got one. Shake it. And then when the meeting starts, the whole meeting is dedicated to Tim and his denial. I remember when I, too, came in on a court card. Tim. Unbelievable. The guy isn't even an alcoholic. He was shooting golf. He shot a bad round. He went to the clubhouse afterwards. He had too many cocktails, pulled out, got a 502 or whatever they're calling it these days. Got a 502, got arrested, went to court, and Tim was smart enough to tell the judge, you bet, I got a problem. And he shows up here. But does he really believe he's an alcoholic? No, 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 no. And the next time old Tim's sitting in that meeting, and it goes around the room, Bob alcoholic, John alcoholic, Frank alcoholic, I'm Tim, I'm also an alcoholic. Now, does he think he's any more of an alcoholic than he was before? No. No, no, no. He just wants you to sign his court card and leave him alone. Rightfully so. You know, if you're brand new in here and you're claiming you're an alcoholic, I'm going to tell you right now, you're in an AA meeting. My buddy Howard used to say it all the time. He goes, just want to let you guys know where you are. You're in an AA meeting. Just making sure everybody's aware of where they are right now. Because some people don't know. They're in an AA meeting. They don't really know they're in an AA meeting. But I'll tell you, if you're sitting here in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting saying you're an alcoholic, according to our literature, what you're saying is you have a fatal disease. Fatal illness means it's going to kill you. Stop worrying about the mole on your back. It's the booze. And not only according to this, not only is it a fatal illness, but it's a fatal illness that only a spiritual experience can arrest. Do you understand how frightening that is? Really? I mean, basically what you're saying is, I got a gun against my head. Trigger's cocked, bullet in the chamber, this gun's going to fire, and the only person that can stop this gun from firing is God, and I don't got one. That is frightening. Could you imagine going to the doctor's office and giving tests? My wife's got good insurance, so she makes me get tests. They've been up the back, they've been down the front, whatever, they've been everywhere, you know. Anyway, could you imagine going in there and giving those tests, and then you roll back in 3 days later, and you see the doctor, hey, how'd it go? And he goes, no. No what? Fatal. What? Yes, fatal. You're done. Whoa. What do you mean I'm done? Yes, you're done. You don't even need to pay your bills, sir. What? Yes, fatal. And though not a religious man, I favor prayer in cases such as yours. Are you kidding me? Do you know that that's what it says in the start of the book? I'm not making this crap up. Do you know there's a doctor in the start of the book and he says, hey, I don't even like treating people like you. And though not a religious man, I favor prayer. That is terrifying. So those new people that are standing up are saying, I've got a fatal illness. They're saying it. They're saying they got a fatal illness, but do they really believe it? Why are you smiling? Why are you smiling if you got a fatal illness? Why are you smiling if you're brand new sitting here and got a fatal illness? And sometimes I wonder, because we get the new people up here and we clap, give them a chip and clap, say, yeah, 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 you got it, buddy, you got it. In reality, we should get them up here and say, you're screwed, you're screwed, you're screwed, you're screwed. And start letting them understand that this is a hopeless, frightening illness. I've been shot at a bunch of times, as you can imagine. And I'll tell you, standing in a group when you're getting shot at, I don't care how tough the guy is next to you, everyone goes down, right? When somebody starts shooting, everybody goes down and their voices go up like 2 octaves. Did you see where he's shooting from? You know, it's like crazy, right? It's not until the guy drives away, then they get up and go, I would have kicked his ass, man. You know, if he would have got out and put the gun down, I would have done it, man. You know, it's crazy. But everybody's ducking. So here are new people saying, I've got a fatal illness, I have no connection, I'm screwed, and they're not ducking. They're not getting a sponsor, not getting a commitment, not getting involved, not asking questions, not jumping in and grabbing the book, not doing nothing. They're smiling, getting a chip, and saying, yeah, let's get some cake. This is the shit. Unbelievable, man. And let me tell you something. Just because your sponsor made you write something out and you did it, you think you mean that means it came in here? No. No. My buddy Joe Millard got sober in 1964, and Joe always says, pity the heart that's slow to learn what the quick mind sees at every turn. Just because your mind says it and you can write that down doesn't mean it came in here. There's a big difference between saying you're an alcoholic and believing it with all your heart. Big difference. Big difference. Anyway, so I tell this guy I'm going to go to the meeting with him. So we're back, just ADD swing with me. I'm out in front of my mom's house. I just told this guy I'm going to the meeting. I turn around and I start walking back into my mom's house, and I have a moment of clarity or a spiritual awakening. And a lot of what that is waking up, exactly as it says, waking up, a spiritual awakening, waking up. As an alcoholic, my perception before getting in here was always from a self-centered. It was always from here out, from here out, from here out. What they're doing, what they're doing, what they're doing, what they're doing. That was my perception. Sometimes that first spiritual awakening is when we step outside ourselves and look back and see our behavior as others see us. And we are not happy about it. One of the best examples of that is the fourth step in the big book. Bill says when he's doing resentments, he goes, yeah, put it down on paper. Get it down. You're burned up. Write it down. Write it down. That's right. That's right. Miss Brown. That's her. Write it down. Get it down. Get it down. And you write all this crap down. And then Bill says, now go back and see where you were at fault. What? Because what he's trying to do is get you to wake up. He's trying to get you to see your own behavior and not be okay with it. A lot of guys always quote Dr. Paul, you know, acceptance, acceptance, acceptance. And they really shouldn't be able to have that story until they got 5 or 6 years sober before they're allowed to read that story. Because you get guys accepting stuff that they shouldn't be accepting. Because they look at acceptance as approval, that they're okay with it. And that's not it. Acceptance as belief. Belief and not being okay with it. You see a lot of guys, I go down to the prisons, I see these guys. I saw this guy, I go, hey man, how's it going? I'm down at Terminal Island. I go, what's up, bro? How's it going? He goes, it's going great, man. You're in prison. What'd you say, dog? You're in prison. It's not going great. Walk into recovery house. See his dude. I go, how's it going, man? He goes, oh, page 449. Full acceptance, bro. It's going great. I go, you're in a room with 15 other dudes, bro. Unless you're living in West Hollywood, it's not going great. It's not okay. Not all right. It's actually got to be acceptance and disapproval. Acceptance and disapproval. I walk on the yard out of Chino. I see a buddy of mine. I go, dude, what's up? I go, you just got out. He goes, I know, but I gave a dirty test. They gave me 6 months. He goes, but I can do 6 months. I go, bro, it's not until you can't do 6 months one more time that this is going to stop. As long as you think you can do 6 months, you're going to keep doing 6 months. Anyway, so I woke up enough to see the drinking and the using. I said, okay. And I went to the meeting. The meeting I went to was the Rap Center in downtown Long Beach. It was kind of like 1111 Island used to be or whatever. I don't know if it's still there, but it was that kind of meeting, right? Push your shopping cart up out front. Go inside. And my mother gave me some money for the meeting, right? She found out I was going. She's like, are you going to that A&A, sweetheart? I go, yeah, I am, Mom. She goes, you want a couple dollars for coffee? I go, I need 40. They got dues down there, Mom. Anyway, so I walk in. My mom gives me some money. Here's how I walk in my first meeting. This is not an exaggeration. I got a pair of ragged old shorts on. Ragged old shorts. I got a Dickies work shirt with cigarette burn holes all over the top of it. All my shirts had burn holes because I'd be smoking. I'm hammered. I got to say something to you, so I put my smoke down for a second. Somebody come up and go, dude, you're on fire, man. No. You're on fire, asshole. Just an idiot, right? I did have nice shoes. My buddy invited me to his wedding. I kept the shoes. I had these shiny black patent leather shoes on, right? And my hair at the time's down to my elbows, full of knots. Little do I know, there's a Jolly Rancher in the back of it. Up here in the back. I guess I'd passed out and the rancher had fallen out of my mouth and just slid around to the back. And then I got up and I'm like, I'm good to go, man. You know, it's like, so that's how I roll in. I roll into my first meeting. Loser, scumbag, animal, trash. I called y'all out. I know that dude from school. I'm not like you guys. Let me tell you why I'm not like you. Because I'm a smooth drunk. I'm a Cary Grant drunk. I go out drinking and the first place it hits me is right here in the cheeks, right on top. And they start getting numb. They get numb on the top. And they start tingling, a little tingly. I have a drink, I start smiling. A couple more drinks, start smiling bigger. A couple more drinks, all of a sudden, I want to wrestle you. Bad news, man. And you want to know what I heard in that meeting? I heard pride. Pride. Do you know that Alcoholics Anonymous is the only place besides prison where people try to be the worst? You aware of that? You get men and women in here wearing the word homeless like a badge. I was homeless. You get men and women in here wearing the word convict like a badge. I've been arrested 187 times, dog. It's like, yeah, go for 188, champ. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. And you know why they talk that shit? Because they can't talk steps. They can't talk recovery. That's what they can talk. And you can go to any bar anywhere near here and hear that kind of talk. I had this old guy got in an argument with this old guy one day, and I don't care, I'll call him out. And this old guy got in an argument with him, and he started talking about the success rate in AA and have we failed. I looked at him, I said, you failed, champ. Don't look back at me and say we failed. You failed, because you sat here and watch this shit go downhill. And then you cry about the success rate. Let me tell you something. You go to any discussion meeting around and make the topic resentment, and every hand in the room goes up. You make it anger, make it hate, make it greed. Everybody's got something to say about that. Make it about your family. Everybody's got a complaint about their family. You go to these family meetings, sounds like we all came out of a Charles Dickens novel, man. Unbelievable. You go to that same meeting and make the topic, what was it like to read your fourth step to another person? And you see how many hands go up. You make that topic, what was the hardest amends you ever had to make? You see how many hands go up. You blame me for the success rate? Anyway, for the people that have been arrested that many times, we need you in here. We need you. And I'm one of you. And it's not why we think we need you. We need you so when the next person comes walking through that door and says, I've been arrested 187 times, you walk up and say, me too. That's where my alcoholism took me. And you share your story without pride. Do you know who else we need in here? We need the person that hasn't been arrested one time. Not one arrest. So when that person comes to the door and says, but I've never been arrested, you walk up and say, neither have I. And you share your story. One way is useful to God and our fellows. One doesn't do anything but stroke our ego. There's a great letter that Bill Wilson wrote. He said, we're so great at talking about what ass kickers we all are, but we're not as great talking about the damage we have done to those that love us. To talk about that. Anyway, I diagnosed myself non-alcoholic. Listen to that crap. And I walked myself right out of here. Right out of here. Just like my dad did. My dad came in on a court card. My dad died from this deal. Drinking, smoking, overweight, heart attack, died down here in San Diego because of this deal. Anyway, I diagnosed myself not one of you. I said, well, I'll try to quit on my own. And I did quit on my own. I quit a whole bunch of times on my own. I was always quitting. Quitting, start and stop. One of the times, 1988, October of 1988, I got 30 days, 30 solid days. No meetings, no God, no nothing. 30 solid days. And on my 30th day, I got a job as a bartender. Because I thought that'd be a good job. And it is a good job. If you have properly worked a first step in Alcoholics Anonymous, being a bartender is an excellent job. If you have not properly worked a first step in Alcoholics Anonymous, working at Taco Bell is a bad idea for you. Because you'll get loaded. If you have not properly worked a first step, going to the market to get bread is a bad idea. Anyway, on my way to work, I stopped by a friend's house to pick up some mushrooms for another friend. I was being of service at the time. My buddy goes, how's it going? I go, it's going great, Lester. Everything's good. Mom's good. Underage girl's good. I got 30 days solid. Just got a brand new job. Everything's good. Is that your bong? Bam! Cunning, baffling, and powerful, alcohol disguised itself as a skunk bud and hidden this dude's bong. Anyway, so I reach out and I take a bong hit. And I come to with a bong in my mouth. Like, oh my God, I just took a bong hit. Here I am, I'm sober, I'm stoned. Bam, that fast. Do you know that the big book talks about that? It does not say bong. You will not find the word bong in the big book. Maybe edition 8 or something, but not now, not yet. But what it does say that's even more frightening is strange mental blank spots while sober. Not drunken blackouts, sober blackouts. Sometimes I have new guys and they come in, they want to tell me how crazy they were. Like they got to pass a test to get in here. You know what I mean? Jack, I was so crazy. I was insane. I was sneaking and creeping and going down alleys with my pants down. I hadn't slept in 7 months. I was insane. It's like, dude, you're not insane. You're on drugs. God rest, give Mother Teresa speed for 2 weeks, she'd start building bikes. It's got nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with it. You are on drugs. That's how those people act. And I'll tell you, when you go deal with people, you can't find out you're insane until you're sober. Completely sober. If you go get a guy like we read earlier on tonight, when you get a real drunk and you're on a 12-step con, not just dumping him in a detox, but when you got him in your house, you got to give him booze, you're taking care of him, you're running him through the night, staying off the shakes, making sure he doesn't have a seizure. When you're doing that, sometimes you got to run those guys to the hospital when they're messed up. And the doctor doesn't come out and go, whoa, look at him, bipolar, manic astro, maybe a little histrionic. No. The doctor says, strap that drunk's ass to a gurney, and when he sobers up, I'll diagnose. When he sobers up, that's when he diagnoses. Can't find out you're insane until you're sober. And if you're struggling with the word insanity, switch it with delusional. I'm not fat. These pants are tight. Delusional. I'm not an alcoholic. Those cops are pricks. Delusional. Delusional. Anyway, I took that bong hit. I said, I'm not going back to AA on one bong hit. What do you think I'm going to do? To come back here? Yeah, I surrender. I took a bong hit. I'll be GSR. Whatever you want. No, not going to happen. It's like, I took that bong hit. Big deal. I thought, I have 30 days. Anybody that's got 30 days doesn't have a problem. And I'm starting to get a little dry from the weed. So I need a little drinky poo to wash it down. When I'm drinking and smoking weed. So these mushrooms are surely not going to get delivered. Anyway, I got fired out on the street, blah, 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 and I'm staggering around. I'm out on the street, 5 grams of shrooms, bunch of booze, weed, out of my mind. Like Bill said, hey, started taking sedatives and drinking, doing them both, staggering around, and one of you guys sees me and says, Jack, can I help you? I go, yeah, can you take me to my mom's house? I'm losing it. And he goes, sure. I'll take you to mommy's. So he drives me to my mom's house. When he drops me off, he says, we'll talk tomorrow. I go, whoa. I go, all right. I know what we'll talk tomorrow means. We'll talk tomorrow is code word for you are too hammered to yell at right now. I'm going to come back when you're sober and yell at you. I mean, they tell us in the book, don't work with the wet ones unless the family needs help. There's a reason why wet drunks don't understand us. They got their whole other language. You ever seen two wet drunks trying to help each other? Like, listen, sit back and listen. One of them will go, I've got damage, 17 times on you, that fat. And the other guy will go, if you don't, I do. It's like, what? What? They're not even speaking English, man. It's a whole different language. Anyway, so the next day, me and this guy are talking, and we're talking nice. And he's not saying nothing about me being loaded. Nothing about it. We're on the phone talking nice, not saying nothing. I go, dude, man, I thought I was hammered last night, huh? And he goes, yep. I go, hey. Woo. I go, last night, huh, brah? He goes, yep. What I was waiting for is, Jack, you're a loser. Jack, you're a scumbag. Jack, you're an animal. Jack, you're trash. Heard it my whole life. Loser, scumbag, animal, trash, demon. Heard it my whole life. And I'm waiting to hear it from this guy. Because he's a we don't drink and we definitely don't do any mushrooms up in here either AA guy. Who has seen me coming in, out, coming late, getting a date, leaving early. Disrespecting his steps, disrespecting his traditions, taking a dump on the program. I'm waiting to get yelled at and it ain't coming. He goes, Jack, you know what? You're probably an alcoholic. And if you're an alcoholic, you can't stop drinking. And if you do stop, you can't stay stopped on your own power for any length of time. I wish he was still here. He's not. 2 weeks after that, he relapsed and died in the car. But that man taught me a big lesson. Big lesson. Don Langston was his name. Taught me a big lesson. Taught me what it is to be an alcoholic. And an alcoholic doesn't have a damn thing to do with the amount of booze you're drinking. Not at all. You're brand new coming in here listening to some of these stories. You can walk yourself right out of here. Do you know that no one new ever comes in AA and sees the best person off in the room, the most well-dressed, most successful, happiest marriage, and say, God, I'm not like that. I'm going to stay here and work really hard for that. Nobody says that. They come in and find the guy that looks like he's doing the worst in the room, go, I'm not that bad. I'm out of here. That's what they do. Anyway, on page 44, chapter 4, line 4 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says what it is not an alcoholic. And it says, if you want to quit drinking, can you quit entirely? Can you quit entirely? Ask yourself if you're new. Have you ever tried to stop before? Do you ever go to jail and say, God, I'm not doing that again? Ever get real sick and say, I'm not doing that again? Ever look at a wife, husband, kid, parents and say, I won't do that again? Why couldn't you stay stopped? Why couldn't you stay stopped? And when you were drinking, how's the control thing going for you? How's that working out? Real simple. Nothing about jail, nothing about losing families or jobs. It's all about that you couldn't put it down and stay put down. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't have a damn thing to do with quitting drinking. They already think you're done. I don't know if you're aware of that. I mean, if they thought we were still drinking, there'd be tapering off steps on there. Step one, get enough booze for the weekend. Step two, shut off the phone. Step three, begin to taper. No, man. They already think you're done. Are you done? Are you licked? Now, are you sure you never want to pick it up again? Because if you don't want to pick it up again, then you do this. I hear guys go, I'm working on relapse prevention. What the fuck does that mean? I guess that means you're working the steps, right? Crazy. Anyway, I'm going to shut up with this. I got real lucky about some of the guys that raised me. They didn't let me get away with much. Very lovingly, but they did not let me get away with much. One time I was looking at the promises on the wall, and I'm studying them, I'm looking at them. This old guy walks by and goes, those don't apply to you. I go, what? He goes, nope, you'll stay sober and like it, even if you get nothing. Okay, I mean, whatever. Because it's so funny, us as alcoholics, we want to ruin our life. And then we'll stop ruining our life if you give us something for it. Give us a present and we'll stop ruining our lives. Crazy. Crazy. The other thing I got to learn is this one day at a time program also does not apply to you. It's for good and for all. For good and for all, like Dr. Bob said. Emotionally, we work the program one day at a time. But for the booze, we don't fool around thinking we're going to be able to take a drink one day. Thinking we're going to get away with it. Poison is poison, and poison stays poison no longer how long you stay sober. I got a great life today. I'm not going to say I found God, but I'm heading in his direction, or her direction, or whose direction, or the Spirit, whatever. And I'll tell you, we make that so much harder than it is. So much harder than it is. On page 55 of the big book, Bill talks about the God's within. It's inside. Inside us. The power's already in there. He talks about in the book, he says these people tapped an inner resource, not an outer resource. We got all these guys looking for God, looking for God, looking for all this power, sticking all this power in. But the issue is not to get the power in. The issue is, how do you get the power out? How do you get the power out? You already got the power. We just got to find a way to get it to come out. And that's by working those steps, sticking these cables into somebody else's hands, forging that connection, and that power appears. I love being sober, and I want to thank you guys for having me.